Hello, this is Glenn Krause from Core CDI with another great podcast we're going to want to be discussing the code of ethics of actors. Okay? So I've been involved in CDI for many, many years, have lots of colleagues in the field. I still am a practicing CDI specialist, review cases on a regular basis, talk to many of my colleagues, and I'm wanting to express some of my concerns with the CDI profession, not the whole profession, just some of the movement that I'm seeing in this goal to optimize DRGs. So let me kind of point out some things that I would want to reiterate or reinforce with the code of ethics from actors, okay? So let me find under ethical, okay, before I start, I want to point out the website, actis.org/membership/ethics. So you can find the actual report of the Code of Ethics of Actis right here on their website. You don't have to be a member. Now let's look under ethical principles, key part of a CDI specialist, obviously key part of the of this actor's code of ethics brief. Okay, let's look at number 7 here. A CDI professional shall facilitate accurate, complete, and consistent clinical documentation within the health record to support coding and reporting of high-quality healthcare data. So that means we want to facilitate accurate and complete clinical documentation that supports optimally the code and allows the coder to do the principal diagnosis that meets the definition with confidence. Also, any and all relevant secondary diagnosis, including CCs and major CCs with confidence. Number 10, avoid participation in, condone, or be associated with dishonesty, fraud and abuse, or deception. Okay. So those are the first two key points I would like to point out. Let's look at section 2. Use only legal and ethical means in all professional dealings and refuse to cooperate with or condone by silence the action of those who engage in fraudulent, deceptive, or illegal acts. Okay, look at item number 2. Act in a professional and ethical manner at all times. Item number 5. Always conduct their work in a manner that supports and encourages clinicians to use their clinical judgment in identifying the most appropriate diagnosis. Okay, I want to come back to that. By the way, I do have a case study I want to review to highlight the importance of adhering to the not only the entire document, but these important pieces that I'm pointing out. So let's go to section number 3. Put service and health and welfare of persons before self-interest and conduct themselves in the practice of the profession so as to bring honor to themselves, their peers, and the CDI profession. CDI shall, number 1, act with integrity, behave in an honest, trustworthy manner, abide by ethical principles, elevate service to others above self-interest, and promote high standards of practice in every setting. Okay, so many seem to be repeating. I think that's about it. Please be sure. Oh, here's one other one, under number 4. Query the provider for clarification and additional documentation when there's illegible, unclear, imprecise, conflicting, incomplete, or ambiguous information in the health record regarding a significant reportable condition or procedure or other reportable data element dependent on health record documentation, i.e. present on admission. So this is, once again, the Code of Ethics. From actors. Now I want to take a moment to go review this case study that I've come across myself personally and see what you all think. Okay, here's the case. A chronic alcoholic patient with chronic pancreatitis and chronic gastritis, secondary alcohol, continued alcohol abuse, shows up in the ER with that blood alcohol level of 195. He's obviously in distress to the extent that he's vomiting ominous brown material, likely related to the chronic gastritis. As I mentioned, he comes in. He walked into the facility, okay, number one. He walked into the facility. Blood alcohol level looks like 195, okay? His last drink was 3 hours before admission. He was complaining of diffuse non-radiating abdominal pain and weaknesses. He denies any other symptoms, and he's had a history of seizure, okay? No shortness of breath, no chest pain, no change in mental status. In fact, the history and physical exam on the constitutional says he's oriented to person, place, and time, no distress. Neurological, it says he's alert and oriented to person, place, and time. Number three, it says he's moving all extremely spontaneously. Number four says skin is warm and dry, not diaphoretic. And psychiatric, it says his behavior is normal, thought content normal. Okay, here's my problem with the case. In this particular facility, the CDI has worked with the IT folks to develop drop-down menus or populate drop-down menus of diagnosis in the EHR. And so they have one here that they created called acute toxic encephalopathy secondary to alcohol intoxication. Other diagnoses include alcohol withdrawal syndrome, SIRS, high anion gap metabolic acidosis, chronic gastritis, secondary alcohol abuse, and so forth and so on. Now, Dave, take a look at this case. Let's see how it's going to be coded and assigned a DRG. First of all, we have alcohol intoxication, okay? Then we have a secondary diagnosis of acute toxic encephalopathy. So we have a major CC. This chart is optimized with a major CC with alcohol intoxication, which likely goes through a poisoning. And we have a high-weighted DRG with a short stay of 2 days. Well, if you look at where Medicare is going, particularly with their OIG work plan edition recently released in, this looks like November, end of November, yeah? Titled Assessing Inpatient Hospital Billing for Medicare Beneficiaries. Medicare and OIG, I'm sure you've all seen this, have identified problems with upcoding and hospital billing. And they call that the practice of miscoding or overcoding to increase payment. And the OIG and CMS is concerned that this is hospital-wide, and they're going to be doing a two-part study to validate their suspicion. And based on the data analysis, OIG is going to see how inpatient billing has changed over time and describe how inpatient billing varied among hospitals. The second part, I think I mentioned in the earlier post, was to use the results of this analysis to target certain hospitals and or diagnoses. Well, encephalopathy, in my mind, and if several of my colleagues, professionals, CDI, revenue cycle, coding professionals who've been in the business longer than I, we know that encephalopathy, for the most part, is being overused. Here's a case of toxic encephalopathy being coached by the physician through the creation of a drop-down menu to optimize DRG. This flies in the face of the actor's code of ethics for CDI specialists. on several fronts. That's why I pointed out these key pieces in the Code of Ethics that you need to take a look at. And the bottom line is, we want to be honest, professional, have integrity in everything that we do. If we actually promote this type of behavior in the interest of optimizing the DRG, what we're doing is inappropriate coding of physician documentation through these drop-down menus or coaching physicians how to document a diagnosis that does not fit the clinical scenario. We're asking physicians to document against their clinical judgment. That was one of the key pieces I read. And we're actually inappropriately manipulating diagnostic statements for coding and reimbursement purposes. Now, aside from that, what we're doing is we're undermining the credibility of our data, because we're risk representing the diagnosis or diagnostic statements thrown out of clinical knowledge to increase reimbursement, negatively impacting coding, outcomes, resource consumption, honesty, and ethics. And the second thing I want to say is that, excuse me, by doing this behavior, we're manipulating or we're overlooking the and manipulating the vetting guidelines to fit the reimbursement optimization, citing and not using our clinical knowledge. This is not, I think, something that's going to help the hospital in the long run, because if you look at just from a compliance standpoint, having a short stay within one major CC falls into the trap of the OIG and all the payers in the RAC and the CERT contractors and our MACs and all the companies that are working for insurance companies to identify potential inappropriate documentation and coding. And if you look at the OIG's hospital compliance reports that they're doing or studies, one of their risks that they use to identify particular cases is short stays with high weighted DRGs with charges on the bill less than the reimbursement. This is a 2-day stay. Perhaps this falls into that trap. So I want to close with this. Let's get back to the true roots of CDI. Focus on documentation, integrity, improvement, enhance the communication of patient care, and do not get caught up in this scheme of trying to manipulate the documentation for the sake of reimbursement, because it's going to come back to haunt the hospital and the profession. Okay? So this is my conclusion of the getting back to a code of ethics, honesty, integrity, professionalism, and what we do. The next podcast, a couple of podcasts I'm throwing out there that I'm be working on is one, how to grow your career in CDI through self-motivation and self-learning. It's so important as a professional in the CDI world to continually learn. You don't have to go to seminars and spend lots of money to earn CEUs. I'm going to be outlining some of the mechanisms and processes I use to keep current in the CDI world. And the second one is going to be what's needed. What is a good discharge summary? What are the elements of a discharge summary that we should be looking for? And the third one that I'm working on in the near future is QIOs or the BFCC QIO. One of their mandates, among many, is for reviewing all cases where the hospital has been paid and submits another bill, higher weighted DRG. It's called a high-weighted DRG program, and I want to go over what are the ramifications of sending a rebill. Is it really worth the extra money? It sets up an issue of compliance and potential denial. So stay tuned for that. Thank you so much for your continued support. Bye-bye.